Good morning. A few years ago at summer camp on Friday morning, we did our Bible study, and it was held indoors that morning. I can tell you because I've got a picture from that day that it was July 5th of 2019. We sang a song that I personally had never heard before, and even at camp, I don't know that we've sang it since. And the song is, as what's titled on the screen this morning, A Shield About Me. The lyrics are very simple. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. And after repeating that through, you sing, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are the lifter of my head. And while we were singing that song and everyone was singing the Alleluias and everyone's voices were coming together, I had tears coming down my face. I remember looking over at Laura and saying, what is going on? I'm leaking. I think if I remember correctly, I said, I hate this place, which I don't. It's my favorite place in the world, but I think I've cried more at Shackamack State Park than anywhere else in my life. Then fast forward to this morning, it did it to me again. On our way to services, obviously Laura knows what I'm talking about, and we listened to this song in the car, and Ella singing in the background, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And I look over at Laura, and she says, I'm not crying. I said, yeah, me either. I'm not either. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because it's from the third psalm. In Psalm 3 and verse 3, David says, But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. When you take a step back and you read the whole psalm, you read about a man who, as we sometimes say, he was going through some stuff. He was dealing with some things when he wrote that. One of David's most infamous moments was his sin with Bathsheba and the events and the consequences that followed. If we look over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 10, as David has been talking to Nathan, it says, Now therefore the sword will never leave your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife. This is what the Lord says, I'm going to bring disaster on you from your own family. I will take your wives and give them to another before your very eyes, and he will sleep with them in broad daylight. You acted in secret, but I will do this before all of Israel in broad daylight. David responded, Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Then Nathan replied, And the Lord has taken away your sin, and you will not die. However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die. Then Nathan went home. And as we read through this next section over this next six chapters, we read a pretty tragic story, because David's child does die, and then his son Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar, his half-sister, and then his son Absalom waits a couple years, and then he murders his brother Amnon, and then Absalom flees, and then he returns after some time, and after he returns, he gets to work, and not necessarily in a good way. He starts conspiring against David. He starts catching people at the gate before they go to the king for judgment, and saying, oh, there's no one to hear you. And he starts painting himself as a sympathetic leader, as someone who the people would want to go to. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6, where it says, So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And so his conspiracy over 4 years, as he's treating these people and painting himself as a good leader, as more sympathetic or more compassionate than David, he steals the hearts of the men of Israel, and David is forced to flee. And over the next 3.5 chapters are devoted to David and his fleeing, and blessings and cursings and good and bad advice and betrayals and new allies. We obviously don't have the time to read all of that today, but I encourage you to do that. But in the midst of all this, David writes what we have recorded in Psalm 3. And again, David was going through a lot when he writes Psalm 3. And if you open up your Bibles, we'll start in verse 1. It says, Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him and God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord and he answers me from the holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, O Lord, save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be on your people. David was faced with a lot of challenges. David was faced with the world seemingly closing in around him, where he's facing many enemies. He says in verse 1, "Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there's no help for him in God." There's three times in just those two first verses where he's talking about many things that are chasing him or following him around. And even again in verse 6 where it says, "I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stance against me on every side." The world was seemingly closing in on David. And he writes what we have recorded in Psalm 3. And this morning I want to look at four quick reminders for us, because sometimes I think we go through some things too. Sometimes it feels as if the world is closing in on us. And it's challenging to remember some of the things that David kind of gives us an example of in Psalm 3. And the first thing is to remember to tell God. I think a lot of us have spent time going through something, and I don't know that any of us have had the same situation where our child is, now I will say, Hadley, I've said, might be the death of me, but I don't think this means the same thing as what's going on with David and in the book of 2 Samuel. I don't think any of us have gone through what he's going through, but I think we've all gone through things that makes the walls of this world feel like they're closing in, whether it be personal health, both physical or mental health, or the health of a loved one, or maybe just the overall well-being of someone that we care about. I can only imagine what it's like, knowing that I have young children, what it's like to have older children. I know my parents' oldest son's a bit of a knucklehead, and I can't imagine what they were thinking as he was growing up. A sister is another story. Maybe it's social exclusion. Maybe it's the neglect of our needs, whether it be by ourselves, our own neglect, or in a relationship, our physical, our mental, our emotional needs. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's just exhaustion or job insecurity or uncertainty. Maybe it's not feeling like you're on the same page as someone else in a relationship, or maybe it's something that we call the small stuff, like a messy home, or that to-do list at home that just seems to get longer because I've got long hours at work or so much going on and I just can't check it off, or a lack of sleep, or self-neglect, or even a conflict with a loved one. We all go through things, and no matter how small they are, they sometimes seem to add up and close in around us. David mentions the word many three times in the first two verses. He is surrounded, verses 1 and 2 tell us. He's being mocked in a way that I think sometimes we feel ourselves. Notice that it doesn't say that there is no God to help you in verse 2. Many say about me, verse 2, there is no help from him in God. It doesn't say that there's no God to help him, but that there is no help for him in God. This doesn't seem to be a question of God's power, but his will. David's being challenged, it seems, with not deserving the help from God, the love from God. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, we see David being cursed. And in verse 7, it says, "And Shimei, as he cursed, said, 'Get out, you man, get out, you man of bloodshed, you wicked man. The Lord has paid you back for all the blood of the house of Saul in those places where you became king. And the Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. Look, you are in trouble because you're a man of bloodshed.'" And sometimes it feels like people or things or whatever our cares are, they're mocking us and saying the same thing. You don't deserve help. You deserve to be in the situation that you're in. But in this moment, David doesn't look inward and he doesn't look outward. He looks upward. Given his history and specifically what got him into the situation that he's in right now, I could see why David might fall victim to thinking, you know what, you're right, I don't deserve this. You know what, I do deserve to die. But he turns upward to God. He gives it to the Lord. He tells him. And David's not telling God something he doesn't know, but he's telling him what's in his heart as an act of faith to him, to let him know that, God, I am giving it over to you. He's lamenting and giving him his cares. "The Lord, my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help in him and God." But then we get into verse 3. "But you, Lord. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. Verses 3 and 4, David remembers the character of God. He remembers who God is. If you remember in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says something very similar, and it's something that we talk about often as one of the most profound two words in the New Testament, where in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, he's talking about you were given in the flesh, you were living in the flesh, and then he turns to the very next verse and says, but God who was rich in mercy. David says something that is very similar. He says, but you, O Lord. Trouble has a good way of quieting God's voice in our ears. God's presence is always there. God's words are always there. But David strains to hear God's voice despite the trouble that's raising around him. God, this is what I'm dealing with, he says in verses 1 and 2, but I trust you. David recalls who our God is. The Lord is our shield, he says in verse 3. We've been studying from Romans chapter 8, if God is with me, who can be against me? In roughly 11 other times in Psalms, God is described as a shield, and we know that God will protect us. This doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be trials. It doesn't mean that David was going to be bubble wrapped and protected in a way we might think of a physical shield. We know, again, what he was going through. But we know that he offers the ultimate protection in our hearts and our lives. And David in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24 through 25, he recognizes that he wants God's will to be done. In verse 24 and verse 25, in talking about the ark, verse 25 says, then the king instructed Zadok, return to the ark of the Lord of the city. If I find favor with the Lord, he will bring me back and allow me to see both it and its dwelling place. However, if he should say, I don't delight in you, then here I am. He can do with me whatever he pleases. David recognizes that the Lord is a protector, that he is the shield, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be bubble wrapped and that bad consequences aren't going to happen to him. In Romans chapter 8, we know, and we'll look at it again a little bit later, that we cannot be separated from the love of God, no matter what the devil is throwing at us. The Lord is a shield around us. The Lord is our glory. He's our strength. Or very simply, he is our weight. He is our identity. David, we know, was a very powerful man. He was a very powerful king. But he knew that all of this came in God. That all of his glory, that all of his strength, that all of his identity was given to him because it was from God. And then he says, the Lord is the lifter of our head. David left Jerusalem in shame. Can you imagine being the king and having and being in all of the glory and having God with your people and then being chased out by your own son, by people that have turned on you? And I think many times we might feel downtrodden, we might feel stricken, we might feel like we are ashamed of what's going through, but God lifts us up. God is the lifter of our head. He's the one that brings us joy. The word David uses here is the same phrasing as Joseph used in explaining the dream to the cupbearer in Genesis chapter 40. In 3 days, Joseph is telling the cupbearer, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. In the same way, God will restore me. He will restore my dignity. He will lift up my head. Because my dignity, my weight, my identity is not in the trials or what I'm going through or the shame that I'm feeling. It is found in God, and he is the lifter of our head. God will restore us to our dignity. In verse 4, it says, I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. In remembering God, we must also remember the significance of remembering him, as we just talked about remembering who he is when we pray to him. We know the God who we are casting our prayers on. We're casting our prayers to the shield, to our protector, to our weight, to our the one who brings us the glory, to the lifter of our head. And remember where David was, and we'll talk about that more in just a second, when he's laying this prayer. He's not in the temple. He's not in the church. He's not in Jerusalem. He's fleeing. He's hiding in the mountains. When life is hectic, God's still there. We serve a present God that's with us no matter where we are and no matter where we're what we're going through. And we don't have to be in the building. We don't have to be in a quiet place. We don't have to be at our bedside. We don't have to be in the closet to know that God is present and He's there with us right now. Because God is an ever-present God and He's with us where we are. We need to start deploying that two-word phrase that we hear or we read from David in verse 3. But you. God, my burdens, but you. God, my anxiety is squeezing around me, but you. God, my guilt, it's heaped on my soul, but you. And if we can think through that and we can understand what David said, but you, O Lord, then when many are around us, as our foes increase, as our anxieties mock us, then we can remember God and we can go to Him and we can remember our source of peace. David was on the run from his son, on the run from death, and he found peace. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And we read about that a little bit in Philippians chapter 4. He's got the peace that passes understanding. And the next question is where? It's down in his heart. He's got the peace that passes understanding, because if you read this, it makes absolutely no sense to us that he would be able to find peace. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 4, he said, in verse 5, he says, I lie down and sleep, I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I'll not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says, do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can have that same peace that passes all understanding by giving it to God. And it's very important to notice that from verse 1 to verse 6, David's status has not changed. His situation has not changed. He's still on the run, but what has changed is his perspective. His peace was not from the trials. His peace was in the trials. I will not be afraid, verse 6, no matter how many thousands of people have taken their stands against me on every side, no matter what is around me, what stressors, things to do, worries, cares, or trials around me, I will not be afraid, because my peace is not found, or my strength is not found out of getting out of the trials, but in them, because I know who God is, as he just read in verses 3 and 4, or we just read in verse 3 and 4. And he also remembers what God has done for him before this in fighting lions and Goliath and the Philistines. Notice the change in perspective when remembering strength comes from God. When we're focused on what's going on around us, when we're focusing on the right now, and we're looking inward or outward, then we will become overwhelmed. But if we look up to God and we remember who he is, and we know who he is, then as we read often in Romans chapter, or we've been reading this year in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I can continue to press on knowing that no matter what, my God is good, and in him I can find peace. That I can find peace. And then finally this morning, number 4, we can remember the source of our salvation. Starting again in verse 1, it says, Lord, my foes increase. There are many who attack me, many who say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, I wake up again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Verse 7 and verse 8 we're looking at now, it says, rise up, Lord, save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be on your people. David remembers the source of salvation, and because of that, he brings a specific request to God. Because he knew that God was the provider. He knew that God was his protector. And now he asks God to act on his behalf. He asks God to work for him. Because he knew where his salvation lay. Because he knew where his hope was. And because he knew that God had promised salvation. Verse 8 again, salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be on your people. In the face of trials, I must take my request to God. I must be specific and let him know what I need in the time of trial. Now, obviously, again, we discussed the morning, God knows what we need, and He knows better than me. But again, it's our act of faith to go to Him, to bring our requests to Him, to lay our cares on Him. But then I need to trust that God is going to do His part, because God always does His part. And then I ask myself, can I have the same confidence that David had as he's writing Psalm 3? I mean, David had seen some pretty amazing things in his time as king and in his life. And I can, because I serve the same God David did. I serve the same God who has done so much good, who has purchased me, who has shown His love for me, who has brought me salvation in my soul. And because, again, the verses that we've been reading all year, the same sentiment echoed in Romans chapter 8. Let's look over there and read it this morning. We've referenced it two or three times in Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 says, "Then are we to say about these things, if God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring us an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, He has been raised. He is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, verse 37. "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I need to remember the source of my salvation. That source of salvation from whatever trial or whatever anxiety or care that I have is from God. And I know that I can see countless examples of Him answering our prayers. I can see countless examples of Him saving us both physically in this life, but also understanding that He has made a promise and He is good to keep that promise, that He is going to save me in the end and give me a home in heaven with Him. And in that I can find peace. And in that I can find my hope. Let's read Psalm 3 one more time as we prepare to close. "Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid if thousands of people have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, O Lord. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people." Just as all the enemies were rising up against David, David asks God to rise up against his enemies, to be his protector, to be his salvation, knowing and remembering who God is. There will be moments and days in the world we feel as if the world is closing in around us. That the walls of this world are closing in and that are fleeing for our lives and being mocked by our cares, being mocked by our anxieties. But hopefully moving forward we can remember David, but more importantly, we can remember God and the God that we serve, our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our head when we're dealing with trials, when we're dealing with cares, when it feels like we're on the run. 1 Peter chapter 1, as we close this morning, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is revealed in the last time." I want to read that again. and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time the circumstance of the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating that He testified in advance in the sufferings of Christ with the glories that would follow. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you're not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible. We talked about a little bit of peace that passes understanding. It just doesn't make sense. Inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 27 that as many have put on Christ and as many have been baptized and put on Christ, and these joys, this salvation, this peace, this hope can only be found in Him. This morning, if we've not put on Christ in baptism, we have that opportunity. And then we can only find that peace with God if we are in Him. And if we've, whether it be we've let the cares of this world or we've just let sin come into our life and take our eyes off of Jesus, we also have this morning the opportunity to come back to Him, to turn our face to Him, to stop looking at the world, to stop looking at myself, but to look up to God. To look to Him. And when we deal with our cares, when we deal with our trials, when we deal with the problems of this world, remember David, remember God. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Alleluia. 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 And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I encourage you this morning not to leave this building with any kind of question or any kind of doubt as to where you'll spend your eternity. And if we can help you in any way, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.